What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the 11th episode of the Sports Hour Podcast. Peyton Taylor, excited to bring you another episode. Sweet 16 up ahead, first two rounds of the tournament over, and we've almost got an Elite Eight of ourselves. Peyton, Toby, Buzz, Chuck, Garrett, Grady, and Corey. Corey with us for the second time in Sports Hour Podcast history. I'm going to start with you, Corey. Good to have you.
Thanks for having me, man.
All right, but let's jump right in. We're not going to do intros for everybody tonight because obviously we have way too many people. But first two rounds of the tourney, we can just kind of go through Thursday and go forward from there. What about you guys? You know, pulling it up, what were some big matchups that really stuck out to you in terms of upsets or just a great game? Or what, you know, what really stuck out to you on the first day of March Madness?
Memphis and Boise State. Too bad it wasn't really an upset to me because I called Memphis to win that.
You know, eight and nine seed games, I don't ever really consider those upset if the nine seed wins. Memphis, we talked about them a little bit before. You know, they 9-8 after at one point in the season, lost to Ole Miss, lost to multiple other teams that are below the talent level of this team. But it's just a phenomenal job by Penny Hardaway and that squad to turn it back around and get a win in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, no, my favorite was the UConn game, Peyton.
You know, that was a good game for sure. UConn, they took care of business. They took down New Mexico State, and they're advancing. They're still on their path to advance to the Final Four. It's a really big win for UConn.
Yeah, Teddy Buckets said otherwise. Teddy Buckets with, what, 37, I think? That offense was insane.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah, 37, and and then Arkansas holding them to
the Catamounts, baby.
It was about 7 points, and then he went off.
But yes, one of my two championship game picks was UConn, who in fact went out in the first round. We don't need to talk about it. At least my national champion didn't go out in the first round, so you know that's enough to talk about.
Coming straight to that, I know last week we talked about a good mascot. How about them peacocks?
Mm-hmm. The peacocks and the Catamounts. I picked Vermont to beat Arkansas in the first round. Of course, that wasn't a very good pick. I picked that 13-4, and I picked Chattanooga over Illinois.
You know, but you say that, but I thought really, you know, you look at it, both of those picks, pretty close to coming to fruition. Arkansas, it took everything they had and just about more to beat Vermont. And you also, like you said, you picked Chattanooga and Illinois, and Chattanooga just barely fell short against Illinois.
I also want to touch on this now. I know it's early, we're talking about Thursday, but SEC basketball – this year was bare minimum on success. For sure.
I said Thursday, we can talk about just the first round in general.
Yeah, and I mean, it was tough because, as you know, you've looked at my bracket. I'm at the bottom right now. I'm at the pit of our bracket challenge right now.
Don't worry, I'm right there with you.
But the main reason behind that is I have Auburn and Tennessee in the Final Four, and that didn't come to fruition, of course. And then LSU getting beat in the first round. I mean, Arkansas is the only SEC team that has made it to the Sweet 16. And, of course, it's tough to see the SEC champion as well as the favorite go down in the first round against a 15 seed in St. Peter's.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's really weird because, you know, we talked about it a little bit before, and I mentioned in the SEC championship debate we had a few weeks back, that I thought Arkansas had the tools to make a deep run in the NCAA tournament. However, because they've been so good at home and okay on the road this year, I wasn't sure how they would fare in the neutral site. But so far, Arkansas has done what they need to do, and they've taken care of business.
It's hard. Man. Both games, they both had – so JD Notae was in foul trouble. Really got carried by defense and bigs. You could see in both those games, though, we should have beaten them both easily by double digits. And like you said, with the Vermont game, but especially New Mexico State, just couldn't close them out, just barely squeaked at home. So I'm just glad.
Garrett, I just want to ask you, being around, seeing some scouting reports throughout the year, was this Arkansas team, was this one that when you saw them earlier in the pavilion and, you know, kind of watching film on them or possibly looking at scout reports early in the season, that you thought this was a team that could make a deep NCAA tournament run?
Absolutely not. They were I'm an Ole Miss fan, and I'm all that, but when we played Arkansas, they beat the crap out of us. No, they're a good team, but they were not any better than any other SEC team. I mean, Kentucky was 10 times better than them. Auburn's way better than them. It's just they've been fortunate enough to play some good teams and beat good teams.
Well, you know, we talk about it, and we kind of talked about it as you go way back to the Super Bowl. Obviously, it didn't come to fruition there, but we had that debate. You know, when the better team, when the better team comes up against the hotter team, usually you're going to pick the hotter team, and that's what Arkansas is right now. They're the hottest team in the SEC, and they've turned it on right at the right time. It looked like Tennessee was the hottest team in the SEC going away, but then they obviously fall in the round of 32.
I think the independent variable for Arkansas right now, in comparison to other SEC teams this year, is Eric Musselman. The I don't know if I'm butchering that name or not, but that's right. But Arkansas's head coach, that guy coaches energy, he coaches defense, and those guys bought in this year, and they are Sweet 16 participants because of this, I believe.
Yeah, man. You could see it coming because he was Nevada, right?
Yeah, I believe
he was
so.
Nevada's coach, and the way that they just – they preach defense, and Arkansas has always been a defensive-oriented team, so that always helped.
Well, and that's what's really had to guide them the rest of the way, because if you look at it, Arkansas shot pretty poorly in the tournament so far.
Yeah.
They shot 42% in the win against Vermont, 33% from three, shot 27.5% from the field against New Mexico State, and 18% from three, and still found a way to win that game. Obviously, it's because they held New Mexico State to 48 points. But, forced 19 turnovers, too. So, like you said, Musselman has really distilled a defensive intensity in that Arkansas team. And when you look at tournament performances, you're going to have high-powered offenses that do carry you, especially upset bids in the round of 64, round of 32. But those teams that last, usually they have an extremely high defensive efficiency rating. I was watching something, a video that somebody had posted, and they were talking about how I believe it was the last five or six champions were no lower than in the top 20 in defensive efficiency throughout the season. And I'm pretty sure Arkansas is above that line. You know, just a phenomenal defensive team, and that's what's really carried them so far.
Last thing on Arkansas, just to, you know, get to the other teams, it was a funny thing that the commentator said. So it was about 7 minutes left, and one game had just ended, and so he said, yeah, so if you're just joining us, it is 7 minutes into the second half. Not the first. No, it was because the score was like 30-30. And it was, I think at half it was 17-23. So, I mean, that's just, that just shows.
Really bad game to have the over.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
I think you would pick the over when Arkansas plays. It's like an Army-Navy game. You just expect a ground and pound kind of game when Arkansas steps on the floor.
The over-under was 139. That game barely broke 100.
101. What was the three?
Are you saying this because you, in fact, had the over, Chuck? Oh, man. But, yeah, any other games from the first round that really
I was going to say, what about North Carolina? I mean, in the 8-9 game, they won by 30 points against Marquette. You don't see that much in an 8-9 game, nonetheless, the NCAA tournament. You don't see 30-point blowouts. And then, obviously, they beat Baylor, the defending champions, number one seed. So North Carolina's a team to really watch right now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think everybody kind of got their eyes open after what they did at Cameron Indoor in the final game of the regular season. But, yeah, I mean, North Carolina has carried – it really seemed like, you know, North Carolina had found themselves a little bit towards the end of the season, but it really seems like that win at Duke is what has, you know, really inspired confidence in that team, and now they're in the Sweet 16. I can't remember who they play in the first game of the Sweet 16. I'm going to look at that real quick.
I'm going to go over two key contributors on their team right now.
UCLA for North Carolina, but go ahead.
Brady Manick and RJ Davis. Of course, Brady Manick was starting out with about 10 minutes to go against Baylor because of an elbow to the face. I mean, it could have gone either way, but they threw him out of the ball game, and then RJ Davis had to take over down the stretch. They tied it up. Baylor did. They were down 25 and sent it to overtime. And with RJ Davis leading his team to that win, it was pretty big for that team.
You want to know a team that's really stuck out to me, and I kind of regret not taking them farther, because early in the season I got really impressed by them, and I'm like, all right, you know, this is a team I'm going to ride with deep in the NCAA tournament. And I did to an extent, but also not as much as far as I'd like to take them. And that was Texas Tech. Yeah. Texas Tech had in a opening round that saw very few blowout games besides the 1-16 teams. They took care of business against Montana State, blew them out. Maybe the least competitive game of the tournament that I've seen so far. And then they go and take care of a Notre Dame team that obviously we thought the ACC was down this year, but they've shown in their tournament performance that the ACC is very much alive and well, and possibly being one of the best basketball conferences in the country. So Texas Tech is a team that has really impressed me. You know, they won a bit, won big games earlier against Kansas and Texas and Austin late, earlier in the year. This is a Texas Tech team that I see. They match up against Duke. That's my most awaited game of the Sweet 16. That's a team that I think if they can win it, I think they have a very good chance of advancing to New Orleans.
I think the guy that will play a key difference in that game is my number one overall pick in the NBA draft next year, and that's Paolo Banchero. That guy, he led Duke in the game against Michigan State. He's a freshman. Okay, he's a guy that with when they were down 5 points with 2 minutes to go, he led that team back to a win against Michigan State. Michigan State, I mean, this year we watched NCAA basketball, and we thought that SEC, the Big Ten, they were the conferences that were going to have the teams that would go to the tournament and make some noise. Well, the Big Ten hasn't had that. SEC hasn't had that. Michigan State made some noise. They had a really good team. I don't know how they finished in the middle of the pack, 11-9 in conference in Big Ten. I'm not sure how they did that. But Banchero showed me in that ball game that he's the real deal.
I agree that he's a fantastic basketball player. I saw Corey's face, and I kind of have to agree with it. To have pretty much anybody besides Chet Holmgren as the number one overall pick to this point is kind of, you know, a crazy thing.
Did you watch the Duke game, and did you watch the Gonzaga game this past week?
Well, Gonzaga, I mean, that's a great segue to Gonzaga. Gonzaga and Chet are both the real deal. Whoever, you know, you have picking to win it all, they have to go through Gonzaga.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Chet in the first two games is averaging 5.5 blocks a game. That Memphis team is massive. They are full of a bunch of grown men and athletes. Like, they're just massive. And for him to have, you know, he was in foul trouble that entire game, but he had four first half blocks. He kind of proved some doubts. He also, you know, a lot of some skepticism towards him dealing with some size and staying out of foul trouble. I mean, there's some, some question marks, but yeah, that full team at their strength, they're tough.
I'm sure you're not looking forward to this, but there could be a potential matchup between Gonzaga and Duke. Yeah. So that Elite Eight matchup would be one to probably determine who will the number one pick.
But they do have to make it through Arkansas to give Corey
a little bit of credit. He doesn't want that to happen, but if it does, then that could be a key game to see what happens in that draft.
No doubt about it. You're exactly right.
You know what's scary about that Gonzaga team is not just the size between Chet and Timmy, which we were talking about it in our group chat. How is Timmy still in college?
I mean, seriously, I don't.
He's a junior.
He's a junior, and the way, I don't know if anyone watched that Memphis game, but he has 4 points at the half, comes out, and just starts obliterating.
He took it over.
He scored the first 11 points, yeah. I know, for Gonzaga, just making all the, you know, wide array of shots. I mean, he's one of those college players that is just.
Leading scorer.
He's insane.
Yeah.
Between those two, and then on top of that, they had one guard. I don't remember his name, but
Hard.
Let me
ask you, because you know you are kind of out of all of us the most intense NBA watcher. I would say you keep up more with the drafts and stuff than any of the rest of us. You know, just as a little bit of a segue away from this, we're going to come right back to the tournament, obviously. But if you're a GM and you're picking, let's say Orlando, because they're projected to be the number one team in draft odds for their one pick. If you have your pick between Chet Holmgren, Jabari Smith, or Paolo Banchero, who would you take? I mean, who do you think is the most? You know, when you look at a number one overall pick, I think you're looking at a balance between the most NBA ready as well as the most superstar potential.
So I mean, it kind of depends, like you said, for Orlando. You know, if Orlando's getting it. My thing is, I really like Jabari Smith. He has such a high ceiling, but also a high floor. Where, you know, you listen to all these, you know, professionals, they talk about Chet has such a large difference in, you know, his floor and ceiling. He could be this. I heard Bill Simmons say today, he said, if you told me Chet made 5 All-NBA teams, I wouldn't be surprised. But if you told me he's out of the league in 5 years, I also wouldn't be surprised. And so that's why I'm kind of afraid to pick on Chet, but I mean, just based off how he's played, I'm excited to see him in the tournament and just, you know, try to prove some doubters wrong.
One thing I want to say about Banchero real quick, and he's a forward, okay? He's 6'10", 250 pounds.
He doesn't move like him.
He moves like a guard. This guy has, and he got in his Duffy bag, like, as if you know what I'm saying in basketball terms, but he's got a deep bag to where he can get shots. as a freshman in college at being 6'10 and 250 pounds. So, like Corey says, his ceiling is very high, but I don't feel like his floor is that low as maybe Chet's would be, because Chet, his physicality may not be able to match.
Gary, go ahead.
Have you ever seen Jabari Smith play in person?
Jabari Smith can hoop. Yes, I agree with that. Jabari Smith
is the...
He's the same thing, but a better shooter and 6'11".
He's
so that's
6'11".
The scary
part.
But
I feel like his floor is just like Kevin Durant.
What happened,
don't have
what happened to him
like
against Texas A&M? What happened to him against Miami last night? What happened to him in all these key games that they needed him to contribute, where we said Chet contributed. He won the game for him. Where Banchero contributed and won the game for him. I know he's a freshman. I know that he's 6'11". He has these key things that can go forward for him. But can he do that in key situations? That's something that I feel like NBA scouts will look at.
Yeah, no.
It's all about players around you, too.
Yeah, that Auburn team didn't help him. They shot like crap.
Yeah, they shot.
So,
they shot
so that really that's a big thing. When you have Timmy, who's that big of a presence inside – you can get garbage buckets like Chet was. On top of that, they have so many guards and they were pushing the break. I mean, that just helps him around him where Jabari Smith was not.
Auburn shot 30% from the field, 19% from three, along with having 13 turnovers. Yes. Just all around, maybe the worst game of the year from Auburn, and obviously the worst.
I told all of you, and I've been telling it for weeks, that Auburn was the Utah Jazz of the college basketball tournament.
And I happen to go into the Final Four. So
I've seen it for weeks.
Look, you did say that, but I also want to say your opinion is invalid if you call it the college basketball tournament. It is the NCAA tournament or March Madness. It is not the college basketball
there
tournament.
There was no madness.
We are not playing the NJCAA tournament in Hutchinson, Kansas. We are in March Madness big boy basketball.
With all due respect to the NJCAA Hutchinson tournament.
Shout out to my boy Quarter Eye and the Northeast Tigers.
Thanks.
Like to add that I still have Purdue win the Natty, and they have a very good road to get there.
They do?
Yeah, and Jaden Ivey's for real. Like, he reminds me so much of, like, the way he can get to the rim, the way he creates shots, like a poor man's. I'm trying to be very, you know, courteous to Ja, but he gives me reminiscence of that. Like, just a little bit less athletic. He's not nearly the playmaker. Ja is way more resilient. But Jaden Ivey, his shot looks better than Ja's did at this point, and the way that – you know, you see Ja Morant, he'll go into a double team and just somehow spin into a wide open layup. And I watched that against I don't even remember the play, but
Texas.
I watched Texas, yeah. So I remember watching that, and it was almost, you know, the exact same thing.
Because he's the MVP.
I will say, though, like, you're comparing Jared Ivey to the greatest basketball player to ever step foot on a court.
That is true, actually.
Yeah, that's an opinion.
Talking about Purdue real quick, St. Peter's isn't going to be a pushover for that game.
It's not. But is it the Elite Eight now or Sweet 16?
It's Sweet 16.
That's the easiest Sweet 16 opponent you can have.
I think if you're a Purdue and you're looking at a 12-point favorite, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think they're going to play a lot closer than
Can I say this? When you get to the Sweet 16, there are no favorites. I mean, there's a betting favorite, but when you get here, obviously this St. Peter's team has beaten two very good teams to get this point. I don't think you can really say they're not a favorite or not they're an underdog at this point. I mean, yes, obviously they're a seeded underdog, but if you made it to the top 16 teams in college basketball, then at that point it's an even floor.
And we're
talking best team wins.
Talking about the favorites, if I'm Villanova, I'm shaking in my boots right now against Michigan. Honestly, could you say Michigan's the hottest team in the tournament right now?
They're up there.
They are up there.
I'm kind of worried about Gonzaga, too.
Yeah, UNC is hot, man. Yeah.
I got Arkansas beating them this week.
Well, we haven't made it to picks yet, Chuck. Come on, buddy. No, but, you know, before we do get to our picks for the Sweet 16, you know, second round, Saturday and Sunday, you know, what games stick out to you there? We didn't talk about the Kentucky-St. Peter's game much because obviously everybody in national media has talked about it, but what was honestly more impressive to me maybe than them beating Kentucky was them coming out 2 days later and beating Murray State and taking care of business. Because we see so many teams that are a 15 seed that they win that first game and they almost kind of come out flat that second game. So for them to come out and take care of business against a Murray State team that was 31-2 on the year, that's impressive. That's two incredibly impressive wins.
Another thing, too, is they beat them by 10 points.
Yes,
it wasn't a close game.
And we're talking about on Sunday. I think the best game that I've watched so far, TCU and Arizona.
Yes.
Yeah,
it was TCU,
such a great game, man. It was just Arizona is just such a deep team that TCU was right there. They just kept inching away, inching away, inching away.
Texas Tech and Notre Dame was also a fantastic game on Sunday too.
Yeah, no, Mathurin, I think he had 30, but it seemed like he got to the line whenever he wanted to. So whenever it's a close game like that in overtime, I mean, to be able to have that, that's a skill, especially in college basketball. I think he's really helping his draft stock.
Speaking about that, I know you keep up with drafts. Where do you think Mathurin? You think he's inching his way back up in the top 15? Because I'm pretty sure at the first year he was a top 25 guy.
Yeah,
I think he fell off.
I think he still has more to prove. I think he will though. So with that being said, I think he's a potential lottery pick. Depends if the right team can get a lotto pick for him. He's got such good size, such good scoring versatility. I mean, he has the potential and the intangibles to be able to play defense, so that helps a lot.
You know, I want to – it's a fair question, I think, to ask. When was the last time a number one overall pick was a national champion? I mean, the last one –
last year or 2 years ago, I think.
Who?
When Virginia won it, did they not play? They not win it the year after.
They did, but they didn't have a number one pick in the draft. The last one that comes to my head is Anthony Davis from Kentucky back in 2012. You know, and not to get is you know us sitting here for 5 minutes and silence thinking about it, but I just thought it was a fair question because you know you think back and you think of a lot of these teams and it's hard to remember a team that had a number one overall pick.
Well, the closest I can remember was like Jahlil Okafor, but he was like number three, I think.
Yeah, and then Cat went number one, and they fell in the Final Four on that undefeated team, Kentucky team back in 2015 to Wisconsin.
Well, but I was telling you the thing about it that really, really motivated me to pick Auburn so deep into the tournament was because I was wanting to see that. And I was wanting to see that, you know, because Chet and Jabari are, I think, by far the favorites for one and two. It just depends on who's getting that. And I really wanted to see that. You know, you have Chet that could make it to the, you know, the national championship game and be able to win it. But how awesome would that have been to be able to be an NBA fan watching number one and number two, arguably, just go
at it? A scout from all 30 teams would have been in the building for that one.
Yeah, I mean, we hadn't seen that in, you know, decades.
Yeah.
So that would have been.
AD was the last one to win it the last 20 years.
He was. Okay, wow. Gotcha. Thank you, Garrett, for looking that up. I thought it had to been a long time. But, you know.
It was in 2012,
I believe. Also, the last time Kentucky won a title. So
last time Anthony Davis played a full season.
Sadly, facts. Has Anthony Davis ever played 82 games in his NBA career?
He got close one of those years with Boogie.
Okay, so if there's nothing else, somebody stop me if there is. Let's move into our Sweet 16 picks over Thursday and Friday. Obviously, we're not picking by what we based on our bracket. Let's pick, you know, based on what we have right now to update everybody. Right now, Buzz is in the lead. Let's be honest, we don't know how long that's going to stay. His national champion has been eliminated. Grady is in last place. I'm in fifth. I don't know about everybody else, but
I'm
in
fourth, not last.
I know I also.
Basketball guru.
My bracket also, I looked at it, has the least potential points left on the board. However,
by far.
I don't know by far.
No,
Buzz
you have 700 and Buzz is 920.
I'm 930.
How do you look at that?
Hey, you go and click on your bracket and it'll pull it up. But either way, not to throw Buzz in the gutter with me, but I feel like it's coming down to me and Buzz for that last place.
Yeah, you're the highest.
Still, and I think everybody else still has a shot to win it pretty much. But now let's look at the Sweet 16. And let's start with Arkansas and Gonzaga. I'm going to go straight down the list as it is in my phone. 6 p.m. start time on CBS. Gonzaga is a 9-point favorite. Let's do this just for a little bit of fun. Tell us your winner, and if the winner is the favorite, tell us if you think they cover. Corey, I know who you're picking.
So, being an Arkansas fan, I don't think we're going to win this game. The biggest thing is our offense has been so stagnant. Our defense can't compare the size that Gonzaga has. Plus, I was watching that Gonzaga-Memphis game. That is a track meet. Like, Arkansas is notorious for their conditioning, but I've never seen someone play that much. That was Chino Hills, but with a half-court offense also. So I'm picking Gonzaga, and I think it's more than a 9-point favorite, sadly.
I'm going to go with Arkansas. And the reason behind that is, I mean, our common denominator, a lot of the times when we talk about college basketball is when they played Ole Miss. And when they played Ole Miss, they towered over Ole Miss. I mean, of course, Ole Miss wasn't a very big college basketball team, But I feel like their physicality will match Gonzaga. It will come down to, can they just over-talent them? Can they be able to make shots and be able to do things that they normally do? I mean, when you get an NCAA tournament game, anything can happen. So I'm going to go with Arkansas.
Gonzaga. I'm going Gonzaga. They don't cover, though.
I'm going to go Arkansas. Gonzaga, their first game, I can't remember. Who did they play their first game?
Georgia State.
It was a close game.
It was halftime. At halftime, they were tied.
It was 10 minutes into the second half.
Yeah, Gonzaga pulled away.
And then they went on a 30-7 run.
But and Memphis gave Gonzaga a good game. Yeah. So Gonzaga's sort of been playing with fire. I'm going to go Arkansas. Close game. I think Arkansas wins at the end.
It's actually a tough game to call because Arkansas, you could say the talent's not there against him, but they are a knock-you-drag-you-at team. And I think everything's there for an upset. Give me Arkansas, and I think it'll be a really close game. Go down to 2 to 3 points.
Like I said, defense travels in the NCAA tournament. Both of these teams are very good defensively. I think really this game is going to come down to with how good Arkansas's defense has been. Can J.D. Notae get that offense going? Can he find a way to not only get himself in a rhythm offensively, but also get the others around him in a rhythm offensively? And against a defense like Gonzaga's that's just so good inside with Holmgren and Timmy, I just don't think they're going to be able to do that. I've got Gonzaga really close. I'm thinking 1-2 possessions, but I do like Gonzaga to pull this one out really close. But I would not be surprised in the fullest if Arkansas won it because I until Gonzaga wins a championship, I'm not going to pick them to win one. So I'm
Justin Musselman.
X factor is Chet Holmgren. If Chet Holmgren can get you a 20-10 game, they'll win.
Michigan and Villanova. Villanova is a 5-point favorite. Corey.
Oh, you know I don't know Michigan that well. But
you know their coach punches people.
But
he's got some fight in him.
He got that fight in him. That dog.
He's a Wolverine.
Yeah, but I think I'm just gonna have to go Villanova. I'm pretty sure Villanova's just had a really good start to the tournament.
Another one that's 30 years old that's still in college is Gillespie from Villanova. Seems like he's been playing forever. So I'm gonna go Villanova too. I mean, Blue Bloods in college basketball. They're there and they're gonna win.
I'm going Michigan by 10.
Wow.
I'm going Michigan for the sole fact that Dave Portnoy is their number one fan.
Oh, my gosh. In Barstool, we trust.
Yeah, I'm going to go Michigan. They look really tough against Tennessee, so I'm going to go with the Wolverines.
Las Vegas is calling this close. I think it is going to be close. Give me the Wolverines.
We'll go an even 4. Well, no, it's not a 4-4 split, is it? We'll go – and we will go 4-3 split in favor of the Wildcats. I will never bet against Jay Wright. Texas Tech and Duke. Fellas, this is a pick'em. Technically, Texas Tech is a 1-point favorite, but if it's a 1-point favorite, it's a pick'em.
Duke's good.
Duke's really good.
Paolo's good. And they have a lot of good, you know, good talent that's not, you know, maybe NBA ready, but, you know, they're good. They're deep too, so I like Duke in that.
I'm going Duke, too.
Especially with the Coach K thing.
They line up across the board. 6-foot Roach, who's their point guard. He's small. And he's 6'5", 6'10", 7-foot. I mean, they're big guys. They play hard. They're talented. I haven't seen Texas Tech. I'm not going to lie. But they have played with a chip on their shoulder all year because Chris Beard, the coach now at Texas, left them. So they play. They came back this year to personify that. They're not just a team that it's good because of the coach. They're good because they're the Texas Tech Red Raiders. So I salute them for that, but I'm going with Duke.
I'm a Duke fan, but this year they've just been inconsistent the last couple this year. They're not as good as they usually are, but I'm going Duke just because I'm a fan.
Cool.
Chuck?
I'm going Texas Tech just to fade my bracket.
Fair.
Give me Duke. Duke will not lose another game in this tournament.
The redemption arc isn't over for Coach K. Give me Duke.
So I'm the only one going Texas Tech for actual reasoning. Sorry, Chuck, but I am. That's reasoning, but fine. Statistical reasoning. How about that? Texas Tech is allowing only 57.5 points a game. Like I said, defense travels. You know, you see a lot of teams struggle offensively to get it going in NCAA tournament games, moving from site to site. I think Texas Tech giving up only 57 points a game. Duke gives up 68. Plus, Duke was very fortunate to get out of that Michigan State game alive. It took a complete a collapse by Izzo and company to escape that one alive. So I'm going to say Texas Tech wins this one. However, I will also go on the other end and say if Duke wins this one, I'm going to make them my new pick to win the national championship.
So this is your stepping stone to them winning.
See, they may only give up 56 points, but Duke's dropping 70 on them.
Yeah, they're averaging 83 in the first two games. So yeah. I think between that and they just have so much talent. I think the talent's just.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying Duke. It's impossible for Duke to win, obviously. Yeah. But I do like that. Like I said, I've liked the Texas Tech team all year. I like their defensive intensity, and I think it's going to pay off because I just have a good feeling about Texas Tech.
Buzz and I were watching that just real quick. We're watching that Michigan State and Duke team. We were wondering how many NBA prospects are on this floor right now. Mm-hmm. There's five or six guys out there that are going to play NBA basketball.
No doubt about it. Houston-Arizona. Arizona is a 1.5-point favorite. Houston has fared much better in this tournament than I thought they would.
Houston is a real team. I remember watching them play Alabama earlier in the year. They're legit. I mean, they're a high-major basketball team. So, go ahead.
I watched the end of that Arizona-TCU game, and I think Mathurin's really good. I think what's the big's last name? Caboclo?
Yeah.
He's a force to deal with. I don't know how big Houston is. I'm pretty sure they have decent size, but I think Arizona's really good, and they've been really hot too.
Houston gets up and down, but I feel like Peyton says defense travels. I feel like size travels too. So I'm going to go Arizona.
So to Arizona?
I'm going to Arizona.
Arizona?
You know, I'm actually from Houston, but I'm going with Arizona.
You're not from that Houston, but yes, okay.
I watched Arizona and TCU, and Arizona did not impress me that much, and Houston has looked very good this tournament, so I'm going Houston.
Benedict Mathurin is going to be the X factor in that game, how good he plays off a really tough TCU game. I think after playing a huge game where you had to throw all your stops out for it, give me Houston beating Arizona.
You know, I'm kind of going to go the opposite way. I don't mind that pick, Toby. I absolutely understand your reasoning. I feel like, you know, earlier I talked about in the tournament, it seems like you see a lot of teams that are underdogs, pull big upsets, they go flat. I feel like you also see when high-seeded teams struggle, they usually come out the next game ready for business because it almost is like they got that bell rung and they're ready to come back and they're ready to come out at 100%. I like Arizona to win this game. I like them to win it by a couple of scores. Not that Houston's a bad basketball team by any means. I think this is going to be a statement game for Arizona. I think they're going to win by about 8. So let's move on to Friday, the final four games of the Sweet 16. St. Peter's and Purdue. Can the Peacocks keep their miracle run going? Corey.
I really like Jaden Ivey. I, of course, haven't watched any St. Peter's, but I almost want to pick them just because of the story, but Purdue's really good, and I really like Jaden Ivey, so I'm going to just pick Purdue. Safe pick.
I feel like the storybook ending is coming to a close now. I'm going to say it's going to be more than 10 points. I feel like Purdue is going to put them away, so Purdue.
Purdue by 20.
Happily ever after, St. Houston's. Purdue's winning.
Yeah, I mean, St. Peter's is a fun team to watch, but I think, like Grady said, the Cinderella story ends. I'm going Purdue.
I'm completely opposite of all y'all. The Cinderella story is not over. Give me St. Peter's to beat Purdue in a close, close game.
Purdue by 30. All right. Providence and Kansas. This is a game, when I looked at the bracket, I have this game actually correct on my bracket. Can you believe it? It's the only game that I have both teams correct in the Sweet 16. And I'm so excited for this. I circled this game when I was looking at the bracket. I love Providence this year, and I really like this matchup against Kansas. But anyway, go ahead, Corey.
Yeah, I was about to say – You know,
Kansas is a 7.5-point favorite, by the way.
Well, so the thing you said about a high seed almost losing to a low seed and then coming out after that, it's the exact opposite with Providence. But I think it doesn't, you know, result in the opposite way. I think they're just really good. And the way that they just manhandled Richmond after, an upset, and I think that's just going to carry over. I think Kansas is good, but I think Providence is probably going to win. You said 7.5?
7.5.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be surprised if it goes opposite way.
These are two marquee programs from two marquee conferences in college basketball. You've got the Big East, you've got the Big 12, and I would have to say this year that these two teams are from the two best conferences in the country in college basketball. But I feel like Kansas is just too much for Providence. I'm going to go with Kansas.
This is a personal thing for me because I'm friends with one of their assistant coaches, is one of our assistant coach's son. Coach there, his name's Jeremy Case, a good friend of mine. So I'm just going to Kansas.
This is the Wizard of Oz game. Providence is going to get the red shoes from Kansas, tap it three times, and go home. Give me Kansas.
Yes! Chuck, that is fantastic. Buzz, go.
Yeah, I'm going Kansas by 15.
Yeah, Kansas and they cover.
Did you practice that one? I got to wonder.
He was sitting there thinking in his whole mind. He was like, okay, I got to say.
Dude, that
I came
Chuck.
Up with it when y'all started doing the, when y'all mentioned the game, and I ran
Chuck, that's fantastic. Credit to you. I've
done watching Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. So these two teams match up pretty evenly. Kansas does outscore Providence by about 7 points this year. They shoot the ball a tad bit better. Rebounds, they're right there even. Assists is pretty even. Blocks, steals, pretty even as well. But one area that is different, and again, this may be a difference of conference, but Providence only allows 54 points a game while scoring 72 on the season. Kansas allows 64 while scoring 78. I always have the mentality that defense travels. I've loved Providence coming into this tournament. I like Providence to head to the Elite Eight. I'm going to say Providence in a slight upset. North Carolina and UCLA. I know a lot of people in this group had North Carolina going pretty deep, so this is a team that a lot of you expected to see here. So, Corey, start.
I actually had the opposite. I didn't expect North Carolina to beat Baylor.
No, I didn't either. I had them going out.
But because of that, I'm going to pick UNC because of the Baylor game.
Manic and RJ Davis are legit. I mean, they played really well against Duke. They played really well against Marquette. Played really well, of course, against Baylor. So I feel like they're going to carry them on and probably match up with Purdue in that Elite Eight matchup.
I'm going UCLA.
North Carolina.
You know, I actually had North Carolina get put out in the first round by Marquette, but they are arguably the hottest team, so I'm going with North Carolina.
Give me the Tar Heels.
You know, I didn't have either of these teams making it to this point. I had UCLA losing
right.
And North Carolina both losing in the round of 32. You know, I've learned from this experience, you don't bet against UNC when it gets into March. And as a team that, obviously it became closer, but this was a team that had a 25-point lead over Baylor with not much time left to go and just about choked it away. But even still, building up that lead, North Carolina's hot. Yeah, I'm rolling with the Tar Heels as well.
And I mean, as the year's gone along too, I mean, they have a new coach, new system, and I mean, they had a lot of turnover. And they started like really bad this year. But as time's went along, they become North Carolina.
Roy William punching in the air.
Yeah.
Coach K better.
All right, and then our highest seeded game of the Sweet 16, number 10 Miami versus number 11 Iowa State. Miami is a 2.5-point favorite. Corey.
I think I'm going to have to go with Miami. The way that they just really beat Auburn, I think a lot of it is shooting luck with the way that Auburn shot. I mean, they gave up open shots. Auburn just couldn't capitalize on it. But I do like Miami, so I'm going to pick them.
I'm going to go with Miami because I don't think Iowa State won the game against Wisconsin. I just think Wisconsin lost that game. They shot 1-for-17 from three. And at the pace that they play at, if you don't make shots, you're not going to win. So I feel like Iowa State was gifted a Sweet 16 game, and I think that Miami's going to take the gift away and beat them in the Sweet 16.
I'm going Miami.
You know, I'm going to go bold here. Miami.
That's Doug. He's very bold.
Bold move.
I'll go Miami.
Hurricane season's coming early.
Full sweep for Miami at this table. The only time we've done that tonight, Miami.
He picked Hurricanes.
That is Miami.
Cyclones.
Yeah. Oh, Cyclones.
Yeah. Cyclones is Iowa State.
So two storms.
Battle of the storms.
Yeah,
but is
typhoons.
Okay, so quickly, I'm going to go rapid fire speed here. So just think about kind of who you picked quickly. If based on what you have now or what the games that are coming up, who's your Final Four?
Oh, Final Four?
Yeah.
Gonzaga, Arizona, Kansas, no, Providence, I mean, and then UNC.
I got Duke, Carolina, Arizona, and Kansas.
Same thing with Grady.
Wait, is your Final Four completely still intact?
No, my Duke and Carolina is.
Okay.
I picked two SEC.
Yeah, you did pick two SEC.
Yeah.
I'm going with Grady.
So, what was it again? Duke, Carolina, Arizona, and Kansas?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm going Duke, Purdue, Arizona, and Kansas.
Mine's just like Grady. Duke, North Carolina, Arizona, and Kansas.
Okay, so it's Arkansas, Duke, Houston, and
St. Peter's.
Duke and Arkansas both can't make the Final Four.
Yeah.
The same as Grady's then.
I'm gonna have Villanova, Texas Tech, Providence, and North Carolina. No, excuse me, Purdue. Sorry, Purdue.
It's so hard to read it on the ESPN app.
Yeah,
is it Providence and Purdue?
Providence, Purdue.
Are they not? No, they are
in separate regions. Right. Providence, Purdue, Texas Tech, and Villanova. That is my Final Four. I had one of those originally in the Final Four, if that gives you any idea how my bracket's going. All right. But so we're right at the 40-minute mark, cleaning that up, finishing that up. So we quickly have enough time to jump into college baseball. And Chuck, did you tally up last week's results?
Yeah, I did.
Chuck, you were the man. Why don't you read those all for us? As you Chuck was on the road last week, so we kind of handled it. And we forgot to write it down. We're terrible people. But Chuck has been hard at work with his baby, and he has gotten this going. So tell us the standings, Chuck.
Grady's in the lead with 12 points. Peyton is in second with 10. I am in third with 9. Toby is in fourth with 6. And then Buzz didn't get his picks in. He's next with 3. And then Garrett's in dead last with 2. Also didn't get his picks in.
I don't like baseball. I'm a basketball guy, so.
Hey, that's fair. At least you call it. So, you know, let's rapid fire pretty much through. You know, we could talk quickly. Is there anything that stuck out to you this past weekend? Obviously, one big one for me is LSU nearly, you know, having 2 or 3 taken from them at Baton Rouge by Texas A&M. I thought that was the shocker of the week to me.
I'll tell you what's not a shocker is Mississippi State still isn't playing like a top 25 team.
They dropped out of D1 baseball this week.
They did. So they are no longer ranked in any poll, I don't believe.
What's going to be fun this upcoming weekend? I know we're talking about this past weekend, but this upcoming weekend in Oxford, Mississippi.
Oh, yeah.
Number one versus number one in polls. We've got Tennessee and Ole Miss. Tennessee sitting at 19-1, and of course, Ole Miss sitting at 1 in Baseball America and D1 baseball. Oxford's going to be jumping this weekend.
Yeah,
I saw
no
this
doubt.
Morning that the Tennessee and Ole Miss game for Saturday is already sold out this weekend.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And it is going to be a fun series. I want to say, you know, it's fun to do the number one, but can we just say we need one poll. We need one poll that everybody goes by.
There's way too many.
Yeah, no, and can we all agree, besides obviously the Sports Hour podcast poll, which is the most valid poll that has ever been published online for college baseball, D1 is the way to go besides that.
I think just an easy answer is how it used to be for college football. You had two polls. You had one poll that was the obvious choice in the BCS rankings, and you had your coach's poll. Well, you don't even have to say your coach's poll. You call it the journalist poll. Mm-hmm. That's the easiest way to do it.
Sure. Coaches aren't journalists.
But I'm saying like you have your one that's won by D1 baseball, and then you can have a separate ranking that all like the major journalism posts can just come in and just post it, and you'll have a composite ranking for it.
I kind of like multiple rankings. You get different points of view, and I like it better, and you just pick which one you like the best.
And I guess that's fair because, I mean, that line of thought, because baseball is maybe more opinionated than any other sport in terms of evaluating talents. So.
Which, when, like, ESPN and, like, on TV, they only use one poll the whole season. So it's not like
they use D1 baseball.
They're not flip-flopping where, like, do use the highest ranking for their TV to get more viewers. Like, they use the same one each
yes.
week.
So – either way, a quick discussion about that. Now let's quickly move into SEC baseball coming up this weekend. And Chuck, do you want to name off those series for us? Because I can pull them up on the ESPN.
Or you want me just? I got it written down.
Yeah, right? Go one by one. Obviously, save Tennessee and Ole Miss for last. But besides that, any other order you want?
All right. So we got the Georgia Bulldogs at the Kentucky Wildcats.
Okay, Grady, you're going to start us off. We're going to go clockwise from here.
I go series win for Georgia.
All right. Are you picking Garrett?
Yeah, I can go ahead. UGA, series win.
All right. I'm going Kentucky.
I'm going Georgia, series win.
Where's it at?
Kentucky.
Okay.
Georgia is really good. Give me Georgia in a series win.
I am going to take the Bulldogs of Georgia in a sweep.
Ooh. I like that. I was thinking about that, too.
They were really impressive, besides Sunday, obviously. But I think we can all agree, not to say that doesn't show there's a little bit of problems, especially maybe in the Sunday pitching. But when you get in college baseball, those Sunday games just get wild. I mean, you know, it's hard to put a lot of, you know, a lot of stock into those because really anything can happen on a Sunday. But I like Georgia to pull off a sweep this weekend.
All right, so the next one, we got Alabama at the Mississippi State Bulldogs.
go ahead and
start. I can start. Okay. Yeah. I'll go Alabama in the series win.
Alabama series win.
That's hard to win in the Dude. I'm going Mississippi State.
I'm going to Mississippi State series win.
Roll Tide roll. Give me a series win for Alabama.
Okay, are we all just drinking the red and blue Kool-Aid just a little bit too much? I get it. Mississippi State. No. I know. Well, I know.
It's just 3-2 right now.
Yeah, I know. But I know. But all of a sudden, it was looking like, oh gosh. Look, I know. We love clowning on Mississippi State, and Mississippi State has obvious problems. But Alabama, I mean, you know, they just haven't looked that great at this point in the season. I know Mississippi State. Yeah, but State has a ton more potential, you know, and it's at home. I don't really see buying into the Alabama stock at home. I like Mississippi State in a series.
All right, listen to this. Alabama played Binghamton. I mean, of course, State beat them. They beat them. It was tied going into the eighth inning. Alabama swept them. They beat them 9-3, 14-2, 5-3. I mean, of course, that's not a very good team, but Alabama swept them.
That is true. Yeah. However, I've always stated that the transitive property of trying to debate how good teams are is literally the worst metric you can ever use.
Especially in baseball.
The teams match up against different people. I mean, it's like Ole Miss against Southern Louisiana the other night, you know, they start out with a righty or lefty?
Lefty.
They throw that slow lefty to start out, and then when they got into the middle relief, they came out with that fast, you know, the fast righty. Yeah, and I mean, teams are going to match up better against other teams. So, I get what you're saying.
If you're an elite team, you should beat bad teams.
No, and that's true. But they did beat them.
If you're worthy of a top 25 ranking, you should beat Alabama.
I'm not arguing.
But they're not worthy of it.
I'm not.
Y'all aren't giving Alabama enough credit. They're going to be, like, they're all right.
I'm talking about you need to beat Binghamton, like, really bad.
Oh, they didn't beat Binghamton?
They were tied through 8, and they put in the coaches. Is what I'm saying.
I'm not saying that State is deserving of a top 25 ranking. But at home, against Alabama, who – I'm not saying Alabama is a bad team, but they are probably closer to the bottom of the SEC. I just don't buy it.
Alabama's a bad team. I'm just saying Binghamton's a bad team.
Either way, let's move on from this.
All right, did you pick Mississippi State?
Yes, I'm picking Mississippi State in the series win.
Arkansas at Missouri.
Corey, you want to make a pick on this one?
Arkansas.
There you go, Corey.
Okay. Go ahead and give me a call, Corey. I know you want to.
Sweet.
Nope.
Oh! Wait. Okay, Corey hadn't picked on these first two. Corey's not a baseball guy, if you don't know. He could probably count on one hand the amount of times he's watched baseball in his life. But either way, Corey, I want you to judge it basically like I would have my girlfriend judge this matchup. Who do you think would win in a fight, a Wildcat or a Bulldog?
I don't know. Those Bulldogs are, I guess, a Wildcat.
Okay, Wildcat. So give Corey Kentucky as a pick. And who would win, another bulldog or an elephant?
An elephant? Come on.
Oh, he said that confident. That's a sweep for Alabama. Easy. That's a sweep for Alabama.
Even the Crimson Tide washes up a bulldog.
Okay, but anyway, Arkansas and Missouri, Grady, start us off.
Okay, so Missouri last week beat Vanderbilt at Vanderbilt 15-2, game one. So that's pretty surprising to me. Then Vanderbilt, of course, swept the backside. So I'm just going to go – where is this a game at?
Missouri.
Okay, I'll go Arkansas series win.
Arkansas series win.
I'm going Arkansas on a sweep.
Yeah, I'm going Arkansas on a sweep too.
I think Missouri is not a bad team, but I think the Hogs are just too much better than them. Give me the Hogs in a series win.
I read that wrong.
Great pick, Chuck and Buzz. Arkansas and a sweep.
They did get swept by Vanderbilt. I read that wrong.
All right, so next we got Vandy at South Carolina.
South Carolina ended up getting swept by Tennessee last week, so this is a team that swept versus a team that got swept. Grady starts off.
So what's the Vandy and South Carolina?
At South Carolina.
Okay, I'll be safe and do Vandy and a series win. Same. I haven't done a sweep yet this week. I'm just playing it.
I'm going to go Vandy too, just series win.
I'll go Vandy series win.
Anchor down. Give me the Doors in a series win.
I've also got Vandy on the road in a series win. Corey, who wins in a matchup, a Commodore or a Gamecock?
What even is a Commodore?
It's a sailor.
It's like a sailor. Yeah, like a sailor.
Well, it's a person.
Yeah. A Gamecock's a chicken.
Yeah, it's always winning. Vandy.
Okay, so that's a sweep. He said that pretty confidently.
He didn't say that confidently. That's a win.
He said, come on, that's easy.
Man so, versus machine, come on.
Yeah, that's a sweep. All
right, next one, this is an iffy like matchup, LSU at Florida.
Besides Ole Miss and Tennessee, I think that's the matchup of the week, I will say.
I'll go Florida with a series win.
You said Florida?
Yes.
Florida, series win.
I'm going Florida, too.
I'm going Florida in a sweep.
Wow.
I think Florida is a really good ball team. Give me Florida in a series win.
I'll go against the grain. I like LSU to come out, and they've got way too much talent and a really good coach at the helm. I think last week maybe, you know, was some growing pains of basically a completely new team and a completely new coach. I like LSU to come out on the road and make a statement. All right, Corey, Tiger versus Gator. That's a tough one.
What's a Tiger going to do in the water? Come on.
What's a Gator going to do on land?
What's he going to do in the swamp? Is what you
actually,
mean?
Yeah, it's wait. Swamp. Yeah.
It's even faster on land.
Yeah, this also is taking place in a swamp, I will say.
Oh, come on now.
He's calling another sweep.
That man's calling another sweep.
Next, we got the Auburn Tigers at College Station against the Aggies.
I'll go A&M in a series win.
I'm going to go Auburn series win.
I'm also going Auburn.
I'm going A&M series win.
From what I saw them against Ole Miss, Auburn is a really good team. Give me Auburn on the road in a series win.
Auburn's a better team, but Texas A&M is a tough place to play. So I'm going to go Texas A&M in a series win and a little bit of an upset. Corey?
A dog or a tiger?
Auburn.
So that's another sweep, man.
It's easy.
Okay, he's calling it. All right.
So now the matchup of possibly the year for the regular season. We got Tennessee at Ole Miss, at Swayze.
Okay. Let me think. I don't know. Like, we're Ole Miss guys. Ole Miss pitching scared me so far this year. Or we can hit the ball. They can throw the ball. They can hit the ball as well. I'll go Ole Miss in a series win.
Ole Miss series win.
I'm going Ole Miss also.
I'm going Ole Miss series win. I think we win the first two, but they beat us on Sunday.
Man, I'm not going to lie. I want to call Tennessee so bad. The pitching does scare me for Ole Miss, but I think the bats are still there. This is going to be such a tough game. It's going to be an environment of the ages there on Saturday. Give me Ole Miss in a series win, but we very well could lose Friday. Like, very well could lose.
He spoke outside of his mouth. This is not college basketball.
It's
back-to-back weeks. It's played. We're tired of it.
Look, like, hey, last time I played that music, it didn't work out well for me, so let's hope that happens again, and I kind of reverse jinx it. But I do like Tennessee to come on the road. They've just been so impressive this year, and I feel like they have less problems at this point in the season than Ole Miss does. And I'm not saying that Ole Miss has major problems, but more unaddressed issues. I do like Tennessee to come on the road and take two. I think it goes to Sunday. I think. You know what, I'm going to say back-end sweep for Tennessee. I'm going to say Ole Miss takes Friday night with Gattis on the mound, and then if Gattis is our Friday starter, and then after that, I think Tennessee.
If Ole Miss is going to be the number one team in the country, this is the series to prove it.
No, yeah, absolutely.
If this series isn't proven to be the number one team, we should not be the number one team.
There's going
to
be some checkerboard overalls on the couch next week when you come here, Peyton, waiting for you.
Yes, sir. Corey, who wins?
A Vol or a
– I'll stop you there. Tennessee native. Sweep.
Yeah, no. I would have never guessed Corey picking against Ole Miss. I would have never guessed that.
That man has a degree from Ole Miss. Let's not forget that.
I have no clue. This is no insider information at all. But who's your pick to throw out the first pitch? I saw this on Twitter and I thought it'd be the coolest.
It's got to be
Lane Kiffin with a golf ball.
It's got to be.
Then he fakes a cramp walking off the field.
I don't think it's definitely not going to happen. But how much of a troll would that be?
I think that's something – that is the exact same thing like Lane Kiffin would do.
Oh, yeah.
Lane Kiffin would do it 100%. Oh, yeah. It would be on every sports news website.
Then they need to bring a stretcher out and carry him off. Corral comes out with a stretcher and carries him off.
He threw the first pitch last year one time. Was in the bullpen warming up. And he was started throwing our bullpen balls in the student section. I had to go in the equipment room and get some more baseballs to rub up because he threw most of them out. He walks out, throws first pitch to Hulk Hogan's theme music. Like, it was so cool.
Spring practice starts tomorrow, correct?
I believe so.
It's getting toward football season too. I know. Oh, it's baseball season getting into it.
Ready for the portal red.
There's something brewing here in Oxford.
No doubt about it. But guys, this is a fun one. We're already at about an hour. I think that's about going to end us off. A great discussion of college athletics. And when we come back next week, we'll have a Elite Eight and Final Four to talk as well.
And hopefully we can talk about Ole Miss sweeping Tennessee. But maybe we'll know.
Corey, you need to come back next time.
Yeah, Corey, thank you. Absolutely. You added a ton for the basketball conversation. Yeah. Even if you don't come back to the crib next week, maybe you can come back on Anchor because we'll need your insight.
I mean, March Madness has been that good.
It's been really good.
We had to call in the big boys, the big guns. Had to call in the closer.
No doubt about it. But if that's going to be it for everybody, for Toby, for Buzz, for Chuck, for Garrett, for Grady, and for Corey, I'm Peyton saying so long, God bless, and we'll see you next time on the Sports Hour podcast.
Go Ribs.
Howdy.